Good morning. My name's Andy. I'm the pastor at Legacy South, and I'm privileged to be able to bring the message to you this morning as we continue in our series, Be Anxious for Nothing. We're looking at a few verses out of Philippians chapter 4 and how they can help us with the anxious times we are facing today. Brandon talked to us about the anxiousness that happens, and the first thing we should do is lean into God, listen and look for God in our situations. And then last week opened up that anxiety needs to be a warning for us to hit our knees and to be a people of prayer. So now let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word. We know that an encounter with your word is an encounter with you. I pray that you will bless this encounter this morning. May these be your words and not mine. May you prepare minds and hearts to receive them. Lord, may you be made great and I be made small this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is possibly the understatement of the year, but these are strange times that we're living in. I had taken some goals that I had written. If you know me, I write goals. I write annual goals. I write long-term goals, short-term goals. So I had looked at some goals for 2020 that I wrote in 2019. And it was strange because a popular Mexican beer turned into a verb. Corona. It did. It got coronaed. It became a verb. I looked at my goals and they all almost got coronaed. It was comical. I had set a goal for 2020 to go to the YMCA four times a week. Coronaed. We'd had a goal for a vacation in Michigan in the summer. Coronaed. I'd planned on starting my master's, growing the church to an attendance of 100 people every week. We had all these goals that we had planned on, and they all got coronaed. But you understand that. You've all had things that have gotten coronaed. We've all had it. Students, schoolwork, the senior year for all seniors last year, coronaed. Jobs and companies got coronaed. Churches got coronaed. Everything was affected. Our social lives, everything was affected. So I look at these goals and I was thinking in 2019, man, this sure wasn't what I expected these goals to play out as. This isn't how I planned on it going. And that's where we find Paul. When Paul wrote these verses to the church at Philippi, this was not what he had planned. Paul had this burning desire to go to Rome. Rome was a hub of activity. It was the mecca of commerce. There was all this social interaction that was happening. Rome was, in Paul's mind, a fantastic place to go and further the kingdom of Christ, to go and preach the gospel. That was Paul's plan. He was so on fire to try to get to Rome. And he made it, but he didn't make it how he anticipated, because when Paul wrote this passage from Rome, it was from prison. Paul made it to Rome as a prisoner, and that's where he wrote Philippians. We're in chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Listen to what he wrote from a prison cell in Rome. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We've been looking at these verses in regards to our anxious times that we're in. And we're going to be right at the start today. Paul tells us right at the start to rejoice. And he doesn't tell us once, he tells us twice. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. He says to rejoice with thanksgiving. That's what we're called to. Instead of being anxious, we are called to rejoice. That's what Paul would do. That's what he is calling us to do. But this is not being phony This is not putting on a happy face. That's not what Paul is calling us to. There's a word in here that I definitely want to point out, and it's reasonableness. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Reasonableness is having sound judgment. It's being solid in your thinking. This is not putting on a happy face, grinning and bearing it, fake it till you make it type of a faith. This is a perspective of praise. That's how Paul views his situations. That's how Paul views every situation. He's talking about changing our perspective from an anxious, worried perspective to a perspective of praise. That's what he's done, and that's what we can do. There's a quote from Matt Redman that says, "The presence of God puts life in perspective." Y'all, that is how we grow and learn a perspective of praise. Now, praise doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning at a worship service. That's not when praise happens. That's really not what praise is in this context. Praise is gratefulness, thankfulness, and a recognition of what God has been doing. It doesn't happen once a week. It happens every day. It's not meeting God somewhere once a week. It's walking with God every moment, arm in arm, through the good and through the bad, and being thankful he's there with you and for what he's doing in the midst of it. That's what Paul is talking about in our perspective. I meet with a counselor for anger management. That's something I've been working on in trying to get a handle on some of my own emotions when my anger takes charge. And one of the things he said right off the bat was, he said, whenever you start to have an episode, breathe. And I'll be honest, it was something that really struck me as kind of silly. I'm like, I breathe all the time. But to intentionally step away from what's going on and to take 3 to 5 big, deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth to recenter yourself and to rethink about what you're looking at. And that's such great advice, because I think about breathing whenever something's going on. And it's the same thing when we're anxious. Did you know that we take close to 23,000 breaths every single day? That's something that there's a ton going on inside our body for us to even be able to do that. That God created us so that without thinking about it, 23,000 times we're inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide, and all these things are happening within our body. And that's something that we should give God praise for. Every single breath is a gift from God. And that's how I think about breathing. Now, when I step away, when I take my breaths, I think about these breaths are a gift from God. We connect with God sometimes on a Sunday morning. Some people connect with God out in nature, seeing a grand landscape, maybe a starlit sky. For some people, it's being able to really be led in music to be able to connect with God. For someone else, it may be seeing a newborn baby and the miracle of life. However you connect with God, those take your breath away moments, we have a connection with God. We need to develop a perspective of praise so that we cannot just praise God in the take your breath away moments, but praise God in the every single breath of our day moments. That's what Paul is talking about here in this passage in Philippians. And he's not talking about being phony. He's talking about being authentic, because Paul doesn't just suggest this. Paul does this. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts 16. There's a great story in there where Paul and Silas are actually doing ministry work in Philippi. And they encounter this woman. She's got evil spirits that have possessed her. And her owners have recognized that she can tell fortunes. And so they're using her to make money. Well, she runs into Paul and Silas. And it's interesting because she cries out. She says, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." But she doesn't just do it once. She starts to follow them around, hounding them. "These men are men of God. They will lead you to salvation." Everywhere they go, she's following them and she's calling out, announcing who they are. And she doesn't just do it once or twice or for a little period of time. For days, she's following Paul and Silas around. Finally, Paul's had enough and he turns around and he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you leave her, and he casts out the evil spirit and heals her on the spot. It's an amazing interaction. It's a miracle. But it's not so good for her owners, because now she can't tell fortunes anymore and she can't make them money. So they seize Paul and Silas and bring them up on charges. Long story short, they beat them with rods severely and throw them in prison. Their legs are shackled and they find themselves in prison in Philippi. And this is their response. I'm in verse 25, chapter 16 of Acts, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They've been hounded by a possessed woman for days, beaten for healing her, and then thrown in prison in shackles, and they are singing praises to God at midnight. This is not something Paul just gives lip service to. This is something that Paul lives. He understands a perspective of praise. And I'll tell you, I always think about this video. I had watched this movie, and it's called Stir Crazy. It has Gene Wilder. And it's not a good movie. I don't recommend it. It's rated R, so don't rent that movie. But there's this scene. Gene Wilder plays this character who's super positive, and the warden tries to break his spirit. And I always think of this scene whenever I read this story of Paul and Silas in prison. Watch this.
Close 10.
Close 10. My back, my 11-year-old back problem is gone. I feel terrific. Thanks, Cap. Wow.
So that warden was frustrated with Gene Wilder's character. I can imagine, you know, how people would feel with Paul and Silas being in prison and just lifting up God in praise. So let me finish the story for you. Here's what happens. So they're leading a praise party at midnight, and all of a sudden an earthquake happens. And this huge earthquake, all the shackles fall off all the prisoners, all the jail cells open up, they're free. But they don't go anywhere, because the jailer comes in and he recognizes everything's open. He thinks everybody has escaped and he's going to be punished. He's ready to kill himself. And Paul cries out. He says, "No, don't harm yourself. We're here." The jailer looks, everybody's still there. He says, "I need to know about what's going on. How do I become saved?" And Paul leads that man and his whole family to faith. They end up getting out of prison, but the jailer and all his family come to Christ and are baptized because of what's going on in the prison that night. That is how God uses things in our life. That is what God does. So how do we learn this? How do we become a people like Paul who have this perspective of praise? Well, we can learn it. It is something that we can learn. There's a quote by Lecrae. He's a Christian rapper, and I love it. I think it's a great place for us to start. He says, "Instead of interpreting our faith through the lens of suffering, we're encouraged to look at suffering through the lens of faith." You know, how do we do that? Well, I have three handles that will hopefully help you to achieve that. First and foremost, I would say to make our requests known to God. That's what he tells us in his word. If we request God's help, if we pray to him and say, "Will you help us?" The answer is yes, he will help us. That's what he does. So ask God to give you a perspective of praise. Watch for it to happen. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a big change in my experience. What you'll see is moving slowly. As you start to view things differently, recognize the changes that are happening and praise God along the way for all the changes that are occurring. So request for God to help you. Then remember, Paul had been in prison before. He remembered this time and this time with Silas in prison and what God had done. This was not his first rodeo of being incarcerated. He remembered what God had done, and we need to remember what God has done. Remember the blessings God has given you in your life. Count them one by one. Recognize what good is happening in your life currently. Recognize where God is active and working in your life. We need to remember the goodness of God in the middle of our anxiety to become a people who have a perspective of praise. We also need to remember the promises of God. We can remember and rely on the Word of God and what it teaches us. It teaches us that the Lord is near. It teaches us that He will never leave us or forsake us. It teaches us that He is working all things for good, that He loves us, and there is absolutely nothing we can do to change that. We have no way to separate ourselves from God's love. We need to remember that this world is not our home. This is not what we were created for, but God did create everything. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and He has the power over everything. These are promises we can remember. So we need to request for God to help us. We need to remember what God has done and what God has promised. And then we need to retreat. Not run away, not quit, not be defeated, but just step back. To step away from the situation a little bit and to change our perspective. Stepping back helps us to take a new perspective on a situation. Look at these photos right here. That first photo, you couldn't even tell what it was. The second one, man, that's a pretty flower. The third one, man, that's God in all His glory right there. That helps us have perspective when we step away. There's times we need to lean in to hear God, and then there's times we need to step back to really recognize what God is doing. And we need to retreat, to step back and change our perspective in order to get a perspective of praise. And when we step back, we need to ask some questions. So many times in our angst, our anxiety, and our worry, we get caught up with the question, why? And I just don't think that's the right question. When we step back to change our perspective, we retreat, I think we need to ask different questions. One would be how? How could God use this? How could God work through this? Another one would be what? What is God calling me to do? What would God like my response to be in this situation? And then another great question to ask is who? You know, who can help me in this time of anxiety? Or who could I help in a situation like this? Perspective. Looking close at all the blessings in our life, recognizing them, and seeing God's hand at work, and trusting in His plan. That's something that only happens when we step back and retreat a little bit. So stepping back from anxiety, that allows us to not let it have the effect it would normally have, to steal our joy, to choke out our faith. This is a perspective that Paul had, and this is a perspective that we can learn. If you kept your finger in your Bible, I hope you did. We're going to jump back to Philippians. I want to show you we can learn this perspective. Paul tells us that. A famous verse in this chapter, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I've always thought of that verse for years. I thought of that as a verse of power. You know, I can do all things through Christ in sports and in other areas when things would get hard. I would focus on that verse, and this is a power God has given me. I can do this through God. That's not what that verse is about. I want you to hear that verse of power in its proper context. It's a verse of surrender. It's a verse of contentment. Listen to this. I'm in Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Be encouraged today. Yes, be encouraged. Even as things continue to get coronated in our lives right now, don't let it make you anxious. But just recognize that we need to change our perspective. We need to change it to a perspective of praise. And it's something we can learn to do. Request God to help you. Remember what he's done and his promises that he will do. And then retreat. Step back a little bit to get a different perspective. Everything that happens in this world is known by God. We can trust that he has his hand on every single bit of it. His goodness, his love, we can count on it. And for these things, we should trust in him. But we're called to do more than just trust. We're called to rejoice. And then after we've done that, Paul tells us to do it again. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this teaching from a prison cell from so long ago. Lord, Paul's teaching didn't go the way he had planned. His trip to Rome didn't go the way he had planned, but you cannot argue that it has borne fruit. And Lord, as we sit here with lives that are not going the way we planned, have not taken the course we laid out, Lord, may you change our perspective. May you help us to see your plan clearly, see the work that is happening, see the blessings that are going on in the middle of the chaos. May we become a people with a perspective of praise. May we seek you first in all things, Lord. May your will be revealed to us. May you help us in these anxious times to not be an anxious people. I pray all this in the mighty name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now the worship team is going to lead us in our final song.